Seahorses are pretty unique little creatures that tend to inspire a passionate reaction in most people. We're protective of our little sea friends, but how much do we know about how we affect their environments? Between 2010 and 2013, the Port Stephens seahorse population fell by 90% because of coast-battering storms and boating, which tore up their fragile habitats. But a new project has provided an unlikely solution to saving the little guys: seahorse hotels. Veronica Alashina has more.
Everybody loves seahorses, but few know that up to 42 species worldwide are listed as vulnerable. Of these 42, 14 species are endangered, including our very own Port Stephens white seahorses. But thanks to marine biologist and senior research scientist at the Port Stephens Fisheries Institute, Dr. David Harasti, the population is being rebuilt. I spoke to Dr. Harasti about his seahorse hotels. What is the significance of restoring the seahorse population for us here in Australia, but also internationally? I know there are some very important projects going on about seahorse conservation.
Yeah. So seahorses are a really iconic species. If they start disappearing, they're a bit like a canary in the ocean. If they start disappearing, that means there's something wrong. There's something not right with the marine environment. If you lose habitat, it's also bad for the whole suite of other marine species as well. So if we can conserve the seahorse, we're also going to be conserving a whole lot more biodiversity in the ocean.
Overfishing is the leading cause of seahorse population decline internationally. In Australia, we protect our seahorses from overfishing, but unfortunately not from other impacts of human activities, or from weather events such as storms, which battered the New South Wales coastline in the period between 2010 and 2013.
Basically, it was caused by a lot of sand movement into the port, and then boat anchoring actually ripped up the remaining soft corals and sponges. We had nothing left. The underwater habitats that seahorses thrived on just turned into an underwater desert. We had a very large population of seahorses here in Port Stephens. One of the sites had around 200 animals, another site had about 600. And those populations over a period of 3 to 4 years declined by 90%. So where I was seeing 400 animals at a site, I could only find 10 on the last count. So the whole concept is we need to put something back in there for the seahorses to attach to and thrive on. And that's where I came up with the idea of the seahorse hotel.
During his dives, Dr. Harasti noticed lost old lobster traps being claimed by sea sponges and eventually seahorses. He was inspired. And these structures that you're building, what are they actually?
Well, we've kept them as basic as we can because we want them to be able to be built by people all around the world to put back in the environment. So definitely no plastic in them. A metal frame, 1 meter cube basically. And we've covered the frame in chicken mesh with some openings so that fish or anything don't get stuck inside. And we just sit them on the seafloor with a couple of bricks to weigh them down.
And you've seen a lot of success with this project so far.
Yeah, surprisingly, it's worked out way faster than what I thought it would. So within 2 weeks, we had 3 animals move onto our hotels. And we survey monthly, and every month we've been seeing the numbers increase. What we're also seeing is we tag the seahorses with a little bit of dye so we can follow them. The animals that we've been tagging in January and February are still living on the hotels now in July. So for 6 months, we've had them basically take up a permanent residence.
So what can we do to protect these vulnerable creatures?
Making sure we don't drop our boat anchors into very sensitive habitats, such as the seagrass and the sponges and the soft corals. You take care of your anchoring, and that way we won't have the anchors dragging through and ripping up all the habitat the seahorses might live on. And then the second thing is removing rubbish, plastic and cans and bottles and stuff. And it's just not good for just the general environment whatsoever. So, you know, trying to look after and protect what we have is the way to go.
Kyle Gillespie, marine ecologist and PhD candidate at the University of British Columbia, has worked extensively in marine protection areas in the Asia-Pacific region. I spoke to him about further protecting these fragile ecosystems from the effects of climate change.
In the past, these changes were really slow and animals had a chance to adapt. But these changes are happening really quickly now, timescale of an animal's lifetime, and that doesn't allow any kind of adaptation. As oceans warm up, the animals in those areas, especially the corals, can't really move. So you get this kind of breakdown of biological relationships between all the animals that live there.
And so then what is the importance of establishing something like a marine protected area or a conservation area?
Yeah, so MPAs can actually be really, really a really great tool for all of this. And it's mostly in terms of lessening human impacts. A protected area will never protect against climate change. Climate change, if we're going to respond to it, has to come in the form of managing carbon outputs.
How are marine conservation efforts assisted or hampered by climate change politics right now?
So decisions based around supporting carbon-intensive projects like coal mines, oil developments, or even development of sensitive areas, those political-based questions or decisions can have a huge impact. We don't necessarily need to do all of these heavily carbon-based projects, and I think that politicians stepping up can have a lot of potential. The situation surrounding the Paris Agreement was a really great show of political leadership. At the local level, within towns and communities, local initiatives to support reducing carbon footprints. There are those top-level agreements. There's the grassroots, but it's the kind of political will at the kind of national or state level that really needs to pick up pace.
Marine ecologist and researcher Kyle Gillespie ending that report by Veronica Alashina.